Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
The question that came up on the morning show today, it was actually a question asked to Ryan Wilson about taking Lamar Jackson. Actually, I don't even know if it was a question. I think it was just Ryan Wilson stating plain as fact that he would rather take future Lamar Jackson over Deshaun Watson. And I think
and like the morning show went like, whoa, which is their little bit. And it's fine.
It's a good bit.
It's a good bit. But I don't think it was worthy of the whoa, because it's just not a hot take.
No, I mean, I agree with you. It's not a hot take. I still would prefer Deshaun over Lamar for the next 5 years. But I got to be honest with you. I think there are two quarterbacks that nobody's talking about them as their value should be set. Like every time we talk about Lamar, it's what Lamar isn't. Every time we talk about Deshaun, it's about those six games. Well, those six games aren't his entire career. And with Lamar, like, yes, there are concerns there. The guy still is an elite-level talent. And that's what you pay for. Production gets you, past production gets guys paid, and that doesn't work. When guys have elite level of skill, those guys are malleable. Like, as long as he's still an elite runner and he does have just elite arm power, Lamar can still be elite, even if the injuries are a concern. But I think the reason, I actually think Ryan actually probably would be in the anomaly of NFL people. Because I just think, I think the real fact is, Dusty,
yeah,
I don't think people around the NFL respect or like running quarterbacks. And that is the perception of what Lamar is.
It's been that way for a while. And I agree with Zach. Like, I think he's a better passer than people give him credit for.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, like, in Cleveland, we're Browns fans. So mm-hmm. it's tough to give a guy credit who plays for the Ravens.
Yeah, I don't. So for me, that's not really part of it. For me, it's just, I think in the NFL, if we say, all right, I've got a distressed pocket passing quarterback with elite upside or distressed running quarterback with elite upside, ten times out of ten, they're going to take the passing quarterback.
Yeah, most likely, I'm sure, especially in this league.
Like, I don't know, like, it's so funny because I think the NFL has grown more tolerant of great running quarterbacks. Like, calling somebody a running quarterback is not the pejorative that it maybe was 20 years ago. Like, people forget, like, Michael Vick should have been the number one pick in that draft, right? By a wide margin. But it was, well, he's a running quarterback. Didn't matter he had elite arm talent. Didn't matter he was the fastest quarterback we'd ever seen in the NFL. It was a conversation because he was a running quarterback.
Right.
Cam Newton was never given his flowers by the national media outside of the MVP season. Well, but completion percentage. Well, but his running style is too physical. Okay, but for 10 years, he was one of the 5 to 10 best quarterbacks in the NFL. I feel that way about Lamar. Like,
I just don't know that Lamar, certainly with the weapons that they've provided around him in Baltimore, mm-hmm. they haven't done him any favors.
I actually think that's really fair.
I mean,
well, at some point in this hour, we'll play what Lima had to say, because even though I don't agree with it, I thought it was fair what he had to say. But if you say, like,
he doesn't put up big numbers, but he just finds ways to win.
But his best receiver's been Hollywood Brown.
I know.
Like, and I know he's had Andrews, who's a really great tight end. Like,
great tight end.
Honestly, if anything, Andrews should be up in the conversation with Travis Kelce, given how prolific of a tight end he is. He's not, for whatever reason. Maybe it's Lamar. I don't know. I'm just going to look at this and say that the most elite thing you can have in the NFL, the number one thing, if we say, all right, we're going to redraft the entire league, what's the number one thing you need in a franchise to have a chance to win every year? It is a quarterback that is an elite-level passer or has that potential. Lamar is an underrated passer. I don't know he'll ever be Mahomes.
No, I don't think he will be either.
But
I don't think that means you can't win.
No, exactly.
Because, but, like, Brady's, like, even at the end of Brady's career, he's put up big numbers and he was mm-hmm. winning, won a Super Bowl, but wasn't elite as a passer. I mean, he's elite in a lot of other areas.
Yeah, I mean, I think.
Intangibles.
But, like, in Mahomes is the thing we point to.
It's Mahomes and Allen, and they're unicorns.
But Watson is closer to being that than Lamar will ever be. Fair?
Ooh, I don't know.
Like, the 6 games are tough because that's what everyone's going to point to. That's not who he's been in his career. Who he's been, I got to take the bulk of evidence on Deshaun Watson. And the bulk of evidence is he's been one of the 5 to 7 best passing quarterbacks in the NFL for those first, really, years 2 through 4. So I have to assume that's closer to who he is than who he was after 700 days off and only 6 games. So if I'm betting big in the NFL, if I'm betting $230 million big, I mean, this is the crux of this is the Ravens are not wrong to be reticent to pay a running quarterback who the NFL's already down on $230 million guaranteed. They're not wrong to be reticent to do it. It's the way they've done it that's the problem.
Right.
It's the way they've done it that is skullduggerous. I just want to say skullduggerous. It was in my head for like
an hour. Congrats.
However, not take Deshaun. But it's a real conversation. Like, I think it's a real honest-to-God conversation. Then it's about what style of offense do you want to see. It's about what concern you're willing to take. Maybe this is because the Browns have already taken the Deshaun concern. The concern was off the field, and the concern was 700 days. So maybe it's just the risk that I've already taken, so maybe I'm more comfortable with it.
Like, if you would have asked this question, again, 2 years ago, when they were at the end of the 2000 season, you definitely would say Deshaun Watson, right? But because of these intangible or these other issues, like the off-the-field stuff that you mentioned, and not playing football for 2 years, I know they're both, what, 26 years old?
Mm-hmm.
So they're super young. But one guy played last year, or has played the last 2 years, and one guy didn't.
If, let's say it was coming off 2020, where Deshaun had passed for damn near 5,000 yards, he had yet to request the trade. We had yet to find out all the particulars. Lamar had had the MVP by then, but Lamar was coming off. This was before the injuries hit Lamar, but mm-hmm. he had taken a step back numbers-wise.
Right.
At the end of the 2020 season, are you taking Lamar or are you taking Deshaun? Because then the answer would have been Deshaun by a mile for me.
Not by a mile, but I would have taken Deshaun.
216-474-0092. I think the morning show really stumbled onto something good there. The conversation about Deshaun or Lamar. Because I will also say, if the Browns hadn't traded for Deshaun a year ago and Baker had struggled this last year, I would hope like hell they were going after Lamar. And I actually think I would have been more comfortable taking two first-round picks and a $200 million risk on Lamar Jackson than multiple picks and a $100 million risk on Aaron Rodgers at 39 years old. Coming down off ayahuasca.
Ayahuasca.
Costa Rica. Jeff, welcome to the show, buddy.
Hey, guys. How are we doing today?
Good, Jeff. How are you, man?
Bud. Welcome.
Good. So, you know, obviously Lamar and Deshaun has been, you know, compared to one another ever since they were in college. We had that big rival game with Clemson and Louisville. You got to look at it. You know, at the end of the day, the reason why I think a lot of people will go with Deshaun over Lamar is because at the end of the day, the fastest man on the field is the football. You know, and I can throw the football faster than somebody can run it. And if you look at their both career stats, you know, Deshaun has played 10 less games than Lamar, you know, has more completions than him, more pass attempts, better completion percentage, more passing yards than him, more passing touchdowns than him. I mean, people trust. They're really good, and I wouldn't fault somebody for saying, oh, they'll go with Lamar's, future. But at the end of the day, people trust the arm talent of someone more so about someone's running ability. And Deshaun is really good at throwing, and he also can run. But Lamar is just an elite runner, but cannot throw as good as Deshaun can.
You know, it's an interesting way, because I think you're right on where you're driving where I was kind of driving there. It's funny, like, the difference between Deshaun and Lamar at their peak is really not that difference in terms of it averaging out. And thanks for the call, Jeff. But Deshaun is an elite passer and kind of a sub-elite runner and kind of improvisational force, whereas Lamar is an elite runner, and he's just under. Like, the limitations thing, like, he can make a lot of the throws, and he can make a lot of throws that dudes can't make in the NFL. So he's not an elite passer. He does have an elite arm strength, but he's kind of that next tier down of passers. So they're almost kind of inverse in terms of their abilities, where they're elite and where they're sub-elite. But I'll just say this. When you build a team right now, because the NFL, it's the league of keeping up with the Joneses, right? When you build a team right now, what's the number one thing you're trying to build? An elite offense, right?
I didn't know where you were going, but
that's fair. It was an exercise. It's okay. There's no right or wrong answers.
You did not throw me.
So. Look in your eyes.
You didn't throw me the life vest at all, there, dude.
I wish people could have seen the look in your eyes, because it was like there was a little terror in there, and I felt bad. That's my bad. But
it was a rhetorical question.
The thing you're trying to build is the Kansas City offense, and by the way, most of it's a fool's errand. Like it's damn near impossible. But you'll never build Mahomes' offense, we're talking about the air raid offense, whatever you want to call that, you'll never build that with Lamar. His offense will always be much more balanced and a little less aerial. With Deshaun's one of the few guys in the NFL. Josh Allen's another one. Justin Herbert's probably another one of those guys. Joe Burrow's one of those guys that you can actually build a similar offense. This is an aerial NFL. It is about trying to throw for 5,000 yards a year, and that's never going to be Lamar. Even as good as he is.
I don't know that because they've never given him the opportunity to. They've not, Nick, have they, wouldn't you think the Ravens are, they're kind of a cheap organization?
Yes.
Right?
Yeah, that's come out here recently. Very
it's,
cheap.
It's pretty apparent. And frankly, I think Lamar's kind of calling him out a little bit here.
Mm-hmm.
And it's making the fans kind of take sides. But just looking at what they've done, just ask anybody. We just had on, it was about a month ago, like Jason Lockenfour, right?
Mm-hmm.
Who does radio in Baltimore or in D.C., right? Baltimore, yeah.
Yeah.
And he's like, no matter what they do, they're going to run the football. They're going to invest in their defense, and they're fine winning ugly. That's what the Ravens do.
216-474-0092. If I could give you the next 5 years of Lamar Jackson or the next 5 years of Deshaun Watson.
Depends where they play. I mean, we know Deshaun's playing here. I mean, if you put Lamar in Indy, I think that's nasty.
What are you more comfortable taking? And I don't know I agree with Anthony Lima, but I think he also poses a really interesting thought on getting in or getting out of the Lamar Jackson business. Have you seen the video coming out of Arizona at the owners meeting?
Yeah, I saw the hug.
It's the hug. It's Huggate. It is Odell Beckham Jr. And Kevin Stefanski. There's a hug. And I got to say, so we can break this apart, it's not an ass out hug. All right, so the butt's not hanging. That's usually, it's not a side hug. It looks like both men are trying to commit to the idea they actually want to hug each other. I'm still not buying it. This feels like a Kevin Stefanski saw him and realized, God, I got to go over there and talk to Odell. And I got, yeah, okay, let's see how it's going. That's what it looks like to me. Do you agree? Do you concur?
I don't know. Did they know they were being recorded?
I mean, you have to assume.
Right, everything's recorded these days.
Yeah. I think this is proof.
Say whatever you want.
I think Odell is trying to sing for a supper. I don't think there's a market for Odell the way that it was reported last year at the deadline. When you know there were talks about him signing in Dallas and Micah Parsons was tweeting about it. I don't think there's a market now. I think it's like a 50-50 chance whether that guy's going to be on the market or whether that guy's going to be in the NFL week one or on a roster or signed to a contract. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe this is him finalizing it. I just think he's a tough sell. I think he's a tough sell unless it's a perfect situation. He feels like it's June. How do we feel about how workout's gone? Are we settled at wide receiver or could we use another body? Do we kind of need a scratch off lottery ticket? Like I kind of feel that's where Odell is. And again, I would have scratched off that lottery ticket. I would have been okay if they did it here, if they felt comfortable with it. But I'm sorry. I don't think you're at the owners meetings unless you realize you've got an uphill climb to kind of land with the team.
That's probably a good point. I mean, it's kind of a place where there's not really any other players there, right?
I mean, I think there are, but I don't think there are a lot of active players.
Does he have a home in Arizona?
That's a great question. I don't know.
Okay. I don't know either. I'm just thinking maybe it was convenient for him if he's there already, or maybe he's out there training because a lot of guys go to Arizona to train.
That's fair. That's a good rebuttal. You know? Like that.
I mean, if you're in town
and
you make it easy to go have a meeting with the team or a coach or whoever.
So we got the hug video if you want to go ahead and see it. I'll just retweet it here, at Nick Wilson says. I don't know. I was going to send you to some random person's Twitter. At Nick Wilson says, if you want to see that.
I mean, look, at this point, the Browns don't have enough spots for receivers.
Yeah, that's actually something I want to get into in the 4 o'clock hour.
They've got like 15 receivers on their roster.
I think it was 14, but yeah.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah. Unless they're willing to start moving on from guys now, and I think... I'll save my conspiracy theory for 420 on OBJ in Cleveland. But we're just having the conversation about Lamar versus Deshaun. And it kind of all stemmed from Ryan Wilson of CBS Sports saying today that he'd rather the Lamar future than the Deshaun future, just given out where both guys are from. And, you know, Ken and Anthony kind of played it up. They did the whoa. I don't think people in town have that big of an issue with that take.
I think people in town have an issue with the take because they're just so praying and hoping that Deshaun Watson doesn't fail.
Well, but I haven't even really seen a defensiveness of this. Like if a year ago, actually 2 years ago, if he had said, I'd rather Lamar than Baker, even though, by the way, that one guy had been the MVP, one guy had one really good season in the NFL, we would have been as defensive as possible about that. But I don't think we have that allegiance to Deshaun yet. I would rather take Deshaun because you can build the kind of offense. It's keeping up with the Joneses NFL. It's we're going to copy each other and we're all chasing something. Like you got to be able to throw 35 times a game to win. I don't know that will ever be Lamar. It could be, but I don't know it ever will be. Mm-hmm. With Deshaun, I've seen it happen. I've seen it lead to at least one playoff win. But I think it was really interesting. I don't know that I agree 100% with what Lima said this morning. But Lima got into a point about Lamar and the Ravens and the idea of either getting in or getting out of business with Lamar Jackson. And I think there's a lot to kind of pick apart here.
I don't think he's coming back. I don't think they're going to match an offer. If there's no offer, which would be incredible to me, if there's no offer, I don't even think Lamar would play this year. With all of that said, and I can't find anybody that agrees with me on this, I think this might be the perfect time to get out of the Lamar Jackson business if you're the Ravens. He has unequivocally, this is not a debate, it's not a debatable point, he has gotten worse 3 straight years. He has gotten worse. He has regressed. Okay? Teams have kind of figured out their offense, what he does really well. They've taken away some of it. Not all of it, because he's good. I'm not saying Lamar Jackson's a bum. I'm not saying he's not an above-average quarterback.
He's already worried about the responses.
But he has absolutely regressed 3 consecutive years. What else has he done? He's missed 10 of the last 24 games. That's a problem. And what were Browns fans saying 3 years ago when he won the MVP? He can't continue this. This style's not conducive for a lengthy tenure in the NFL. He's not going to be around forever. Get in your wins now, Lamar and Baltimore, because it's not happening in 3, 4, 5 years. Well, now we're sitting here 3 years later. He's absolutely got injury issues, and he has regressed his play. Teams have figured him out a little bit, and now I think it might be the right time to get out of the Lamar Jackson business when you have to pay him. And instead of that, you might be able to get at least 2 first-round picks. So I know that sounds inconceivable because what are the Ravens going to do? What are they going to do without him? It's a great question. They're probably going to take a step back this
year.
That
was my whole problem is they don't fall out of trees, man. They're not apples.
They don't, Ken, but they kind of fall out of trees more than they used to.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Teams are finding quarterbacks all sorts of different ways.
That's
right
my
now.
Issue with Lamar.
So what Lime is hinting to is, or what I think Lime points at, and I think it's really, really fair. Lamar is beauty's in the eye of the beholder. If I am the Detroit Lions and I have won diddly squat in 50 years outside of a couple of playoff games with Barry Sanders in the mid 90s, and I finally have a good roster, I finally have a good head coach, or I feel like I finally have a good GM. And Jared Goff is a nice quarterback, but there are limitations to him. I don't know he'll ever be an elite quarterback. And there is a guy who has played at an elite level, even if it's one time in his career, who offers you elite abilities, elite arm strength, elite running, right? To me, I'm going to look at that and say, there are concerns, but I got to focus on the positive. I got to focus on what he could be for us, instead of just neg bombing him and saying what he isn't or what he hasn't been. If I'm the Ravens, I'm going to look at that differently. This is a guy who I don't know that I feel comfortable paying $200 million a year guaranteed or even $150 million guaranteed. The timings of the injuries have sunk the last two seasons. We now have bad blood between the two sides here. And
I think, listen, it's been proven the Ravens can't win when he's not on the field.
Which is a thing that people absolutely should be factoring in Baltimore, and it doesn't seem like they are.
I do, and that's why I don't get it.
But I think if you're the Ravens.
Nick, go ahead.
But I think if you're the Ravens, you're also looking at this and saying, well, if it's about him being on the field, then could we win if we found a different quarterback, different style quarterback? Could we win just as much if that guy's able to play 17 games in a season? Could we win more? Is 12 games of Lamar, 13 games of Lamar, better than 16 or 17 games of Jared Goff or 16, 17 games of Ryan Tannehill? And then you got to factor in maybe Lamar's a $40 million a year player and Ryan Tannehill's a $25 to $30 million player. So to me, both sides are right. Like, Lamar is an elite player. And it vexes me to hear people say, we just don't think this is a good fit. Then you're a coward. If all you're looking at Lamar and saying the things he can't do, well, he hasn't stayed healthy the last 2 years. Well, we're not going to build an offense like Mahomes. If that's all you see when you look at Lamar, then you don't belong as a head coach or GM in the NFL. Especially if you're like year three, going on year four of Ron Rivera in Washington. You'd rather ride or die with Sam Howell than take a big swing on a quarterback that could change not just the trajectory of your organization, the trajectory of your career. And it's the same in Atlanta, same in Detroit. I don't care that Jared Goff is coming off a good year. It's his first really great year in like 3 or 4 years. So, but at the same point, the risks are there. So in Baltimore, I think after 5 years of Lamar, considering the bad blood, you should absolutely be looking at this and more through the negative lens. But both sides are right. Lamar is elite upside, and the risk is considerable because it's financial and it's giving up draft assets. But isn't that the hill you want to die on? If you go down, so like Matt Rhule really had to walk his ass back to the college football saying, my NFL quarterbacks were Sam Darnold, Teddy Bridgewater, Baker Mayfield, and PJ Walker. And he has to tell people in Nebraska, as he's wearing those stupid Cornhusker hats, he's got to tell them that he had he tried to win in the NFL with four guys at quarterback, those four guys. You can't. Ron Rivera's going to have to, if Ron gets fired next year, Ron's going to have to say, I tried to
win with Brissett and Sam Howell.
Oh, and Taylor Heineke and Alex Smith and Dwayne Haskins. Like, yeah. It's befuddling to me. And I think one thing we didn't say yesterday, there is a sense that most people in the NFL, I think the biggest strike against Lamar is, well, we don't know that he's actually available. The idea of he might actually secretly be just driving up the price and that the Ravens might match anything that you offer. So you don't want to do all this due diligence. You want to build your offseason around a player who just has an offer sheet that's matched. That's fair. It also shouldn't be enough to throw you off the scent of Lamar Jackson. You can either lose with an average-ass quarterback or below-average quarterback, but he's affordable, or you can take a big swing and see if that guy can change the fortune, take you from a middle-of-the-road organization, bottom-of-the-road organization, to something that you haven't been or haven't been in a while.
The other thing that Lima said that I disagree with was at the end. He thinks that if there's no offer sheet to Lamar, he thinks Lamar doesn't play this year. I think that's possible, but I think that would be a big mistake for Lamar. We've seen it happen before with guys that hold out and don't want to play. We saw it with Le'Veon Bell. Like, I think if he doesn't play this year, it could really hurt his future in the league.
I also think So I don't disagree with you. I should let me like, leave
if I'm
that.
If I'm Lamar Jackson and I'm not traded, I come back to Baltimore. I come back for the OTAs. I do everything. They got a new OC, right, this mm-hmm. year? So you got to learn a new offense. The last thing you want to do is show up late.
Yeah, you could also say, though, I think both things can be harmful. If you hold out and you wait till next year and you don't play for a year, we saw what happened to Sean. It's going to probably cost you another year of production. And that's that makes you a bigger risk to get $300, $400 million, $200 million, whatever you want. I also think there's a chance in a year if he goes back to Baltimore and the offense takes time and they continue to throw out bad receivers to him. I think in a year's time, people could be talking about Lamar like people are talking about Baker. Oh, wouldn't want him on my team. Oh, there was the contractual issue. Oh, he has been hurt 3 straight years. Like, I don't... Lamar put himself in this position. The Ravens helped put him there, too. I think everything he does is a risk. Now, I'd rather take the $35 million on the franchise tag and have that money to bank on. But I think both things are a risk. I think not playing next year or playing. I think both things have a lot of risk for Lamar.
You see this tweet from Ross Tucker. It was, I think, yesterday, but it was just kind of interesting. Career earnings. Josh Allen, $85 million. Lamar Jackson, $33 million. Both the same draft class.
Yep.
Last 2 years since eligible for a new deal, Josh Allen's made $67 million. Lamar's made $25. He says he's never making up that difference. It's sad.
216.
That's a lot of money, dude.
474-0092. Agree or disagree? Now is the right time to get out of the Lamar Jackson business if you were the Baltimore Ravens. I think that can be true, and I also think it could be the right time to get into the Lamar Jackson business and take that risk. If you're a team like Indy that shuffled through bad quarterbacks, if you're a team like Detroit that has not won anything in the last 50 years of your history, it's all about your recent history and your ability to transcend organizations, or in the case of the Ravens, maintain your spot in the NFL. We do have to get to the Guardians mixed bag here. We'll probably bring this back more later in the show. But I got to be honest with you, the highs are higher than the lows right now. Like, the low for the Guardians is the bad half of the mixed bag is Tristan McKenzie is out anywhere from 2 to 8 weeks.
That's not good news.
But the good news is the Andre Jimenez deal is awesome.
It's a great deal.
Like, it's not just taking up the rest of his arbitration years, which I believe he has 3 more left. It's also taking up to at least 5 years of free agency. That's effectively signing a guy to 2 contracts at once. That's a huge win. And it also kind of secures that you, from a value standpoint, you just absolutely destroyed the Lindor deal. Because in the years since you've traded Francisco Lindor, Jimenez and Rosario have combined for a greater WAR than Lindor has. And now the best and younger player of that is going to be under contract for almost as long as he's going to be in for New York for the rest of his career.
Right.
Or for the rest of his current contract. It's so weird because we don't get excited about... Sorry, this is a we. This is not great. Baseball fans don't get excited about re-signing their own players unless it's to like a $500 million deal. These deals are better. Getting guys at 24 and paying them until they're 30... or 31, that's the better deal than signing Albert Pujols for $500 million when he's 33 years old. These deals work out a hell of a lot better than signing Bryce Harper to a 13-year, $400 million deal.
Right.
Like the Padres. The Padres don't... I mean, I don't even know money exists in... Like, money's real in San Diego anymore because, like, it's just monopoly money. Juan Soto, you're going to get $500 million. In Machado, you're going to get $500 million. And Tatis... If you lay off the juice, you're going to get $500 million. Like, they're just handing out oodles and oodles of money. Most of those deals are going to suck in 5 years because those guys are 28, 29, 30, 31 years old. The Guardians, I know it vexes people because it's killed the hot stove. And when it's a trade, it's usually you're trading the best player in the trade. But the Guardians do better business than anybody in baseball. I'm going to trade the better player. Like, Lindor's arguably the best player you've had in Cleveland since Manny Ramirez. In terms of like talent and impact and numbers.
Star power.
Like, we're talking Jim Thome, Manny Ramirez. If you put him on the Hafner, the CC Sabathia, the Grady Sizemore Indians teams, he's still probably the best player on those teams. And you just turned around and you, and this is not you and I, it's the Guardians, just found a way to get better value than the best player in the trade. Like, when you trade the best player in the NBA, unless you're getting the best player, in a trade in the NBA, when you're trading the best player, you're going to lose that trade 9 times out of 10. We saw with the Kyrie trade. Jay Crowder, Isaiah Thomas, a first, Ante Zizic, and one other guy, that was good value when it happened. 5 months later, it was crap because Kyrie was clearly the best player in that trade. In the NFL, when you trade the best player, more often than not, you're going to lose that deal. In baseball, the Guardians have perfected. We're going to move on from this person who is a $500 million player, and we're going to come out better for it. That's bananas.
They always make these good moves. And you got to give them credit. As much as the fans in this town bitch about the money and stuff like that, I get it. They go to the playoffs like every year. Now, granted, they haven't won a World Series. It's really tough to do that, by the way.
Like, it's not even close. The Guardians are the best team in town.
By far.
And I don't mean, because like the Cavs organization deserves a lot of credit.
Well, we'll see. I mean, we'll see about this year. But overall, like just the last decade, it's not even close.
Without LeBron?
Yeah, I mean, LeBron makes things a little easier, yeah. Right?
Without those 4 years of LeBron, it's really the last 2 years that give us hope on the Cavs. The Browns, let's set them off to the side in this conversation.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.